KZZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. The president-elect met with the two top leaders of the International Longshoremen's Association at his Florida estate. This is a statement from the union, which also says Mr. Trump expressed strong support for union dock workers and taking a stand against automation. The man charged in the murder of UnitedHealthcare's chief executive is being held on a gun charge and is fighting extradition to New York. Prosecutors say they've matched Luigi Mangione's fingerprints to items from the crime scene. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Those are the kinds of things that investigators in this early stage are presenting to the grand jury. We also know they've been talking to his family and others as they try to round out a picture of this 26-year-old.
Amid calls from local and state leaders that the Fed should do something about suspected drone sightings over an area of New Jersey, a joint statement from the FBI and Department of Homeland Security says there's no evidence of any kind of threat to national security or safety. This is ABC News.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year. But do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offer in our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanella says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A report from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction found that students in the state are struggling in standardized testing, specifically in math. The report found that less than half of public school students scored as proficient in math during the 2023-2024 school year, and school choice program students had a math proficiency rate of about 28%. Education officials cited the COVID-19 pandemic as one of the major reasons for the declining test scores, forcing students to learn virtually to prevent the spread of the virus. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has sent a warning to four voice service providers in the state, accusing them of allowing illegal robocall traffic on their networks. According to a press release, warning letters were sent to KWK Communications, Inbound, AKA Management, and CallVox. Attorney General Call is part of a bipartisan and multi-state litigation task force seeking to protect consumers from the irritating robocalls. The warning letters included specific instances of suspected robocalls using the four networks. The Duluth Entertainment Convention Center could regain management of Bayfront Festival Park next week. For the last year, the site has been operated by Winterfell Management on a one-year agreement. Mayor Roger Reinhart says that company was chosen because there was not enough time to put out a request.
The Packers' Luke Musgrave returns. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers tight end Luke Musgrave is back at practice after injuring his left ankle against the Vikings late September and finally having surgery about 2 weeks later.
I definitely knew that I hurt it, but we didn't know that it probably needed surgery until after the Rams week.
How's your body feeling now?
Feeling good. Still getting back into it. Still working into the ankle, but body feels good. Been in the weight room a lot, so it's been really good.
Some good news for the Badgers football team. Wide receiver Trek Kekahuna changed his mind last night and decided to stay at Wisconsin, but both quarterbacks, Braden Locke and Tyler Van Dyke, have entered the transfer portal. Baseball, the Brewers added two minor league pitchers, Grant Wolfram from the Rangers and Connor Thomas from the Cardinals. Brewers GM Matt Arnold at the winter baseball meetings in Dallas.
We're excited about having Freddie Peralta at the top of our rotation. We had guys like Tobias Myers step up. Really happy with Aaron Civale at the end of last season. There are a lot of different options there. I think we'd certainly be open to adding another starter as well.
That's Brewers GM Matt Arnold with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and bitter cold again tonight with lows of 10 to 15 below. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-teens. Wintry mix developing for Saturday, a high in the low 30s. And mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-30s Sunday. Right now it's 5 below.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Just PS here. Dom's out for a few days, so we've got friends filling in. Next time, join Civic Media's sports director, Jimmy Cuska, for, you guessed it, sports talk and local news.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who thinks outside the box and hates cliches, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, get in on the new Civic Media Contest. We're having another text-to-win contest, and these are so easy to do. All you have to do is listen weekdays at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. for keywords to text for your chance to win in our grown-up gift list. Statewide text-to-win contest. You could win $100 cash, a Chula Vista overnight stay, and be entered to win one of 8 grand prizes on our grown-up gift list. It says list below, but I don't have the what's below. Do you know what's below? What are the other 8 wins?
Well, if you just go to the website Civic Media, it's on the homepage actually, and you can see all the gifts on there. So,
and it's so easy, folks. All you have to do is text in the keyword, and they give that to you at the top of the hour, usually the bottom of the hour. Text in, and you're eligible, and that's all there is to it. Also, on Christmas Eve, Nightlight is going to kick off 24 to 36 hours of Christmas music on Christmas Day. We will air 2 hours earlier from 4 to 6. We're going to read your Christmas emails. You can share stories with us, Christmas cookie recipes, favorite Christmas movies, songs, sweaters, whatever. We're going to cover it all in 2 hours. We're going to have two very special guests on the show as well. All you have to do ahead of time is email us whatever it is you want, your Christmas story, movie, song, whatever, at Nightlight. Nightlight at civicmedia.us. That's N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E at civicmedia.us. And we will read them on the radio. That will be a great way to kick off Christmas, I think. And we'll be out of here a couple hours earlier. Should be fun, right, Conrad?
It's going to be a lot of fun.
We can share stories, too.
Yeah.
Carla from Baraboo says, our question tonight is, what is your favorite Wisconsin-associated food? And this was inspired by Terry Barr's article on Civic Media where she did this whole piece on Kringle. And Kringle is like cheese curds. I don't ever order it. I don't ever order cheese curds. But when they're in front of me, I eat them.
I'm not going to lie. I will go out of my way to order a
good
cheese curd.
Most people do. That's fine. I always tell myself I'm going to try to eat right. But if it's in front of me, it's over. Carla says, food at an old Wisconsin supper club. That's kind of general.
Yeah, I mean, there's too much to choose from, yeah. I think she's saying.
Just give me the menu. Anna from Madison says, I thought of another one on my Wisconsin's favorites. Prairie Fume Wine from Wollersheim Winery in Prairie du Sac. Wow, I don't even understand what half those words mean. That was a mouthful. But thank you, Anna. Anna's had two great answers tonight. And then Lynn from Oconomowoc says, evening, raw beef, onion on rye. My Uncle Pat eats this. I love it. And a sprinkle of pepper is served at Joey Gerard's in Greenfield. That's Lynn from Oconomowoc. Have you ever had that?
I'm scared to just
sometimes eat. It's called tartar.
I'm scared to eat raw beef, but I'll eat raw fish. So is it kind of the same thing?
I think raw beef is slightly less risky than raw fish. Here's who's not afraid of raw beef. How do you like that for a segue? It's our next guest, Rob Thomas. For all I know, he's terrified of raw beef, but I don't care. It was a great segue. We're going to bring Rob in. He's a Madison entertainment critic, and as you know, a frequent flyer here at Nightlight, and he joins us now over the stream. Hey, Rob.
How's it going? I didn't know I had an opinion about raw beef, but now I'm really searching my soul about that one.
I kind of want you to be the Nightlight raw beef guy. Is that too much?
Doesn't that have a name? Isn't like the cannibal sandwich or something like that? Am I?
Oh, I like that.
There's a very specific name for that.
I think you're right.
Your caller. I think it's cannibal sandwich, but I'm sure somebody will correct me.
I thought it was called tartar or something like that.
I think if it's fancy, but if you get it like a dive bar, you can get like a cannibal sandwich. Yeah.
Boy, if they're serving raw meat in a dive bar, I'm out of there so fast. We're out of this. Go back to the dumpster.
Hey, in for a penny. Yeah,
right, exactly. Do you have a favorite food, Rob, that is like associated with Wisconsin?
Well, I got to say cheese curds. I know it's a cliche. And I know you're against it, but like.
No, I'm not.
Really, yeah, there's really nothing like fried cheese curds. It's not the wisest choice from a health perspective, but like, come on, when in Rome. Yeah.
You got once in a while you have to, right?
Yep. But they are addictive. I don't have ever seen a half finished plate of cheese curds.
Right. They seem to get more and more unhealthy. Cause now people dip them in ranch.
Oh yeah.
And then it's like, how can you make this worse? Like, here's just, you know, here's a piece of lard. Put that on there too. It's really good. You know,
it does sound pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, it's good to talk to you, buddy. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
You too, Pete.
Thank you. Are you ready for Christmas, Rob?
I feel pretty good. Yeah. I feel nice. Like my shopping is in good shape. We haven't got the tree yet. That is our big drawback. We missed a window where we should have got our tree, and now it's really cold here. So we're scrambling a little bit. Other than that, I think we're on top of it.
Oh, that's fantastic. So let's jump in here. We've got a lot to talk about, and I want to talk about the big films in the theaters right now. You're doing much better with them than I am at the moment. But I kind of offhandedly said something about Ted Danson in our text exchange earlier, and you said you've been watching his new show. I don't know what is going on with Ted Danson, but in these Hollywood beats I do every day, this guy even backs into a successful show. He said he thought Curb Your Enthusiasm sucked and he wanted to do it because he felt sorry for Larry David. And he ends up being in 12 seasons of this crazy critically acclaimed show. And he says it renewed his love of comedy. Like, the guy can do no wrong when it comes to TV.
And on the show, I think like Larry hates Ted Danson and like goes out of his way to, you know, to make him look bad on the show. And Ted just keeps, you know, who's like, I think people think he's like one of the nicest guys in Hollywood. He certainly has that perception.
Yeah.
I think Ted Danson, I mean, and he has a podcast. It's a really good podcast. With Woody, right. Yeah. And it's sort of a Cheers podcast and sort of just talking to people. But like, I've been watching this show on Netflix called Man on the Inside.
Yeah.
And it's great. He plays a widower in San Francisco who answers a want ad because he's really doesn't know what to do with his life. And it turns out it's a private investigator who wants a senior citizen to go undercover at a nursing home to find out who's been stealing jewelry from the residents. And so it's great. He's perfect in it. And so he's sort of this professorial type who gets into like espionage, and he's got like secret, you know, glasses where he can videotape people. And then it's also a very sweet show about these characters in this, nursing home, although it's a very high end facility. Like the residents, there's a bar, they smoke weed together, they have affairs. like it makes growing old look fantastic if you can afford it.
if you can afford it.
But it's a great show. I'm like halfway through it. I think I know who the thief is, but it's much more about the characters. And like the guy who made it made Parks and Rec and The Good Place, and it's really good.
I think that might be derived from a documentary. Cause I do the, intros for Independent Lens and POV and PBS. And I swear I wrote one of these intros where a guy did that. And I thought, oh my God, I remember thinking that's brilliant. And now, of course, another idea that got away from me because it's already on TV. But that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's called the Mole Agent, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see that now. Yeah.
Yeah. It was great. So I told you, I went back to Cheers, Rob, and he's so good. Like, I remember him and laughing and everything, but he is just your central character, your access character, I guess is what they call it. And he's so. Ted Danson is great. I understand why he can do no wrong when it comes to TV. I mean, he's got Cheers, Becker, this new show. He was on Curb. He had The Good Place.
Yes.
He's just maybe have a track record like nobody else in the history of TV.
Yeah, and I think maybe on Cheers he even got a little bit overshadowed because, like you said, he was sort of the regular guy. And
yeah.
Norm and Cliff and Carla, they got sort of, I think, the big laugh lines usually.
Right.
But I remember watching that show in the 80s and just buying that, like, oh, that's a handsome jock guy.
Yeah.
And then you sort of read interviews with him. And no, he was like a stage actor. He had a lot of anxiety about being on stage and like, he's very different from Sam Malone. And so right. It makes you appreciate even more what a great job he did on that show for so long.
I think I read too, that he really didn't know anything about baseball, and I totally bought him. You know, he's like, I almost thought maybe this guy really was a jock because Fred Dreyer used to be on the show and he was a football
right.
player.
That's right.
So anyway, and he was funny. So I thought, oh, he was probably a jock too, but no, he didn't even, I don't even think he ever played baseball.
Yeah.
So can we start with the movie that you saw? I am dying to see this. It is not at my local theater. The Order. It's reviewing well. It's my kind of movie.
Yeah.
And it looks fantastic. You liked it, right?
It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a thriller. It's opening pretty wide. I hope it comes to your theater soon because it's doing well, I think. And it's sort of like, it's a very gritty crime thriller. Set in the 80s in kind of the Idaho, Colorado, Wyoming, and it's an FBI agent played by Jude Law, who normally is this like handsome golden boy, but he plays right. this like alcoholic cop with a big mustache and eye bags, and he's I think trying to go to Idaho basically to half retire. He's kind of burned out, but he gets wind of all these white supremacist groups that are in the area who are robbing banks. And so it's like an action film. It's like a heist film. These bank robberies reminds me of Heat, Michael Mann's Heat, the way they're shot. But it's very much based in real life. It's based on a nonfiction book. I grew up in Denver in the 80s. I remember reading about a lot of it, including the murder of a radio host, Alan Berg, which is, I think, made national news by white supremacists, and that's in the movie too.
Really?
So it's not a bundle of laughs, but it's a really well-made thriller. And I think one, people ought to see.
That's so cool. I want to see that. And it reminded me of a film noir I just watched the other night called Kansas City Confidential. It takes place in 1952 and the guys wear masks. And they're creepy looking. And it makes me think how many movies we watch today that are like heist movies, like this one or The Town, where they wore the masks. Like, I wonder how many people saw something like that and were inspired by it. A movie I'd never even thought of before a few days ago. Rob, we got to do a really quick thing. Then we'll come back and pick it up with The Order or whatever we talk about. Rob Thomas is here. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho, ho, ho!
The Todd Allbush Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports and drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From the 414, Lynn says, oh, don't forget Brandy Old Fashioned. Is the fruit considered food? Yes, Lynn. Yes, it is. I'll accept that answer. Eric from Lodi, we complimented Eric's knowledge of many subjects. He says, thanks for the kind words. Just don't ask me any math questions. Luckily for you, Eric, I'm not even smart enough to ask a math question, much less know much about math. And Drake from Green Bay says, what is my favorite food is also my password recovery hint question. The answer to both questions is buffet. All right. So if you're Drake's neighbor, you can hack into his Wi-Fi. Keep those texts coming. We'll read some more in just a bit. Rob Thomas is with us. You can follow Rob or check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack. He is also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and an entertainment TV movie critic. So you liked The Order a lot.
Yep.
Okay. That's on my list. I have not seen Flow. I know you wrote about it in your Substack. What did you think of Flow?
So, like, as a film critic, like, I'm happiest when I write about a movie and one that people haven't heard of, and people tell me, I didn't know this movie, but it looked good. I read your review. I went and saw it, and I really liked it. And I've had more people say that to me about Flow than any movie.
Wow.
It's this independent animated movie, I think from Latvia. And it's, I think it's fairly low budget, but because it was made by like this free animation software, I read Blender. So it's not like Pixar. Wow. But it looks fantastic, and it's this has no dialogue, and it follows this cat, and it goes on. It reminds me of The Incredible Journey, that old Disney movie, where this for some reason the cat's world in the jungle, like suddenly the water level rises, and he's in danger of drowning. Finds a boat, and you know a dog jumps on a lemur, and. They go on this adventure, and there's like all kinds of like peril along the way, and it's really beautiful. And I mean, you could kind of read it as maybe a climate change metaphor in a way, but it was just so beautiful to look at. And you're just and again, the only dialogue is like a cat meowing or a dog barking or something like that. And the animals really seem to move like real animals. It was really fantastic. Yeah, and again, it was one I had not really heard of.
So you're saying the only dialogue, Rob, in the whole movie is just meowing and noises?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, there's not even really a sign of – there's maybe one or two signs that humans at some point were in this world. It's sort of a mix of our world and sort of a fantastic world. And I mean, you'd have to really watch it. But it's really this, like, immersive experience. And you know, I think it's one that, like kids will like for sure, especially if you – they're animal lovers, but even grown-ups who like animals and yeah. great animation. I think what I'm hearing is people love it, and it's such a nice surprise. I mean, there's so many blockbusters out there right now that this little movie is finding an audience.
I love stories like that. It's got 97% from critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 93% from audiences. So I just added that one to my list. That's fantastic. How about the new Lord of the Rings movie? I pronounced the name properly in my Hollywood Beats, but I've already forgotten the pronounce. Is it Rory Heem or something like that?
I was hoping you would tell me. That's why I write rather than,
we'll just call it the new Lord of the Rings movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a misnomer because, you know, it's an animated movie. It's anime, Japanese anime. It's, you know, my sense is that probably they made this movie just because the studio didn't want to lose the rights to making Lord of the Rings movies, because it's been like 10 years since the last Hobbit movie. And so they're like, let's make an anime movie. Let's get out the door and, you know, keep the contract.
Right.
But it's actually pretty good. I think part of the reason is it's set like 200 years before the events of the Peter Jackson trilogy, like
right.
the King, Two Towers, and barely has any characters in common with it. So it tells this like self-contained story of like this basically civil war between these two warring factions in this one kingdom. The animation is sort of a mix of 2D hand drawing, which you don't see that much anymore, and kind of motion capture. If you like that sort of thing, like fantasy war, you know, tactics between different armies, like the end of the Two Towers remind me a lot of. It's a lot of fun. And the actor Brian Cox, who is like one of my favorite actors,
he's great.
Is the voice acting of the king in the movie, and he's great. So like, I'd be definitely, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, it's one you probably will enjoy until the next one comes.
I've heard it seems like it's reviewing mostly favorably, but I've heard some critics that really just did not like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty different than Lord of the Rings. I mean, it depends what you want a Lord of the Rings, I guess. If you want like right. mystical hobbits or mystical creatures, there's none of that here. This is like a straight guys on horses fighting each other with swords kind of movie. And so your mileage may vary on that one. But I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought it would be, like I said, kind of a quickie cash in, but I thought the director made is kind of a legend in modern anime. Okay. And the story is just so different from what you usually get Lord of the Rings that I found that pretty interesting.
All right. So far we've got a glowing review of Man on the Inside, or you like it at least. Really like The Order, and you really like Flow. So that gives us something to check out, certainly heading into the weekend. What about Y2K?
Well, so I the idea is great. So, I mean, guys our age remember New Year's Eve 1999 when there was a lot of panic that there was some glitch in computers that they wouldn't be able to read that when the dial turned from 1999 to 2000.
Right.
And there might be, I don't know, planes falling out of the sky or your.
It was scary.
It was like, yeah. In the end, nothing happened. It was fun.
Right.
But this movie by Kyle Mooney, who's a former Saturday Night Live actor, is like, well, what if the machines turned on us on New Year's Day 2000? The premise, I think, is really good. And like the first half hour is really fun because it's all this, it's like a horror comedy where it's all this 90s tech turning against us, like a front-loading VCR or like a Tamagotchi virtual pet. It's a fun movie. I saw it with an audience and they liked it, but
it runs out of gas. I have to say the machine is going to take over if I don't get to a break really quick, but we'll have Rob has agreed to stick around for a few minutes after the news. We'll be right back with more Rob Thomas. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here comes my baby, here she comes now, and it comes as no surprise to me, with another guy, here comes my baby, here she comes now, walking with the love, with a love that's all so fine.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for organizations willing to host clinics for Winter Free Fishing Weekend. The yearly event will be held on January 18th and 19th, allowing anybody to fish most of the waters in the state without a fishing license or stamp for trout and salmon. The hope is more residents will take advantage of the free fishing weekend and decide to get a license and stamps in the future. The application materials to host a clinic can be found online and must be submitted to the DNR by January 8th. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has adopted new reading curriculum recommendations without the approval of the Joint Finance Committee. State Superintendent Jill Underley sent a letter to the Republican-controlled committee on Friday referencing a state Supreme Court decision showing that the DPI does not require Joint Finance Committee approval for the curriculum. That decision found that the legislature has used the Joint Finance Committee to violate the separation of powers by blocking stewardship purchases. A senior care facility forced to evacuate residents due to a water pipe burst last week won't be able to reopen for months. Officials from Dove Healthcare in Rice Lake say all 46 residents were moved to a Spooner facility temporarily. Nobody was reported injured during the burst or the move, and officials say they connected with all the primary contacts of the residents. The Dove Healthcare employees will continue to care for their residents. Renovations on the Rice Lake facility have already begun, and officials expect it to reopen in mid-2025. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced it plans to stop stocking splake in Lake Superior. DNR officials say the decision stems from previous reports arguing that inland fisheries should be responsible for managing the genetics of the fish in their waterways. To make up for the loss in the total number of fish, the DNR plans to increase the brown trout stock by about 30-40%. Officials also announced new regulations for walleyes as they look to create a more consistent harvest in the St. Louis River. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You might think Americans don't work as hard as they used to, but that is not true at all when it comes to TV watching. Tube viewing was up 5% overall for the month of November, but that does not include Thanksgiving, which would have driven the numbers up even higher. According to Nielsen, the reason for the increased viewing was the election, World Series, and the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul snoozefest. A Nielsen pie graph shows broadcast networks with 23.7% of viewers. Streaming services accounted for 41.5%, which is up 1% from the previous month. Cable accounted for 25% of TV watching. In the category of other on the graph, it showed 9.7%. I'm guessing those are people who just leave the TV on and stare at the Roku home screen indecisively. Speaking of streaming, Netflix really hit a home run last month with the Tyson-Paul fight, even though it left viewers watching mostly a rotating buffering ball. Netflix's The Lincoln Lawyer was the most viewed streamer for the month with 3.9 billion views. Well done, couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and bitter cold again tonight with lows of 10 to 15 below. And mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the mid-teens. Wintry mix developing for Saturday, a high in the low 30s. And mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-30s Sunday. Right now it's 5 below.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that to me is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. My
Our question tonight is, what is your favorite food associated with Wisconsin? There is still time for you guys to get in on the fun. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We have a few more texts to read. We will get to those soon. My guest right now is Rob Thomas, who has graciously agreed to stick around for a little longer so we could get through his list of movies. He's seen a lot of stuff. I also want to give Rob a shout out and a thank you for, Rob, your connections at the Capital Times did a great article on Nightlight, and I can't thank you enough for putting us in touch with Lindsay Christians, and Victoria Davis. Thank you very much for that.
That turned out great. I was so happy to see that story, and I thought Victoria did a really good job. She's a great writer.
Yeah.
Lindsay was a great editor, so yeah, that was fun to see.
She was fun to talk to.
Well-deserved ink.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Yeah. So let's start, before we get back into blockbusters, Rob, let's start with Hundreds of Beavers.
Oh, God.
I thought we had talked about that already. Had you just seen that, or did you see it a while back?
I think, yeah, because it first came through in January.
Okay.
And I'd interviewed the filmmakers then. And it's so interesting because it was back last week 2 weeks ago in Madison for a bunch of places for like a one night only screening. There's like 700 people there. It was fantastic. Wow. Yeah, I got to introduce it. It was a hoot. And I mean, the story, and it's like on streaming, and I think the Blu-ray is coming out. These Wisconsin filmmakers got their buddies in a few beaver costumes, went to northern Wisconsin and Michigan in the dead of winter and shot this, like, I mean, it's like a live action Bugs Bunny cartoon, basically. And it's so funny. Like, it's definitely I think it's definitely going to be in my top 10 list this year. It's easily the funniest comedy I've seen. It doesn't flag. And like, it's a great story. It's a great story because like, they made this movie a couple of years ago. No distributors wanted it. They were like, what is this? So they were like, well, let's just take the show on the road. And they went from town to town and they would show it, and they'd have a guy in a beaver costume running around in the aisles. And it ended up being like the biggest self-finance hit in years. Like, it made five times its budget just by that. It's still making money. I mean, I'm sure it made a lot of money off those screenings last week and the DVD sale. So it's like, I think Hollywood's kind of looking at this and going like, you know, I mean, that's a pretty good rate of return. Maybe we should think about this might be a way forward for, you know, trying to figure out how to keep the movie industry afloat.
The director, Mike, was on the show several months ago, and he was so fun to talk to. He had like this, I don't know, he had like a mustache. I think he was having a cocktail, and he's just like such a regular Wisconsin dude. I had so much fun talking to him, but I'm also so curious to see what they follow that with, because I saw the Lake Michigan Monster, which I don't know if it was their first movie, but it was the one right before Beavers. And that was really funny. And I don't even know how they shot that with, I'm sure there was green screen or CGI or whatever, but on the cheap, like, they're so innovative and I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And they're getting enough notice that I wouldn't be surprised if they get like a bigger budget. And I mean, it's impossible not to get a bigger budget than what they have.
Right.
Beaver. So, it's really exciting, I think. And the fact that it's become a real cult hit.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's fun. I saw it at the Wisconsin Film Festival last year with an audience. And that really, I think you'll like it if you just see it on your own, if it comes to streaming or whatever. But seeing it with an audience was just really, it was just a great theater experience, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
All right. So let's go. I know last time you were here, you said you had seen Wicked and you just thought it was good, but not, you thought it could be shorter, or you didn't love it, if I remember correctly.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was, you know, there are parts in it I really liked. I love the main actresses, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, who I think, you know, are fantastic, perfectly cast. You know, the big musical numbers are great. There's just kind of a lot in between that. But I'm clearly the minority because, I mean, people are going back to see it 2, 3, even 4 times. Yeah. The theaters are always packed. I saw they're going to start doing sing-along Wicked screenings.
Yeah.
And I got news for you. Every screening of Wicked has been a sing-along screening because people are singing in the theaters. And it's a real, I mean, it really is like, like the Barbenheimer phenomenon, I think, where people are like, we got to go see this at theaters. This is an event. So, which is great. I mean, so like, even though I was a little lukewarm on the movie, I'm really happy that it's doing so well and people are really responding to it so much.
Yeah. I'm with you. I probably liked it a little more than you did. I liked it overall, but it did take a weird turn. Like, just when I thought it was over, when Jeff Goldblum comes into it, it just took this, it was like this kind of whimsical fun. And I know they're sticking to the play, which I did not see. So I was just, as a moviegoer, I was like, man, it took a weird turn there in the last 30 minutes. It got so dark. And then we find out she's, and I guess it was headed there all the time anyway. But,
right.
As a movie, I was like, boy, this is different. I feel like it's a totally different genre than where it started, but I still really liked it, I guess.
Yeah. I really like Jeff Goldblum. I thought he was really good as the wizard and with a hidden agenda.
Right.
So yeah, well, we'll have to go see part two next Thanksgiving and definitely see what all it turns out. Yeah.
Reconvene. What about, have you seen Gladiator yet? Gladiator 2?
I did. Yeah. We went Thanksgiving. It was just me and my wife. So we saw Gladiator 2 and had Indian food and after. And
where'd you go for Indian food? Maharini?
Rajni, everybody was talking about, is really good. It's a new spot on the far west side.
Nice.
It was good. It was good. Okay. And yeah, I mean, it's good. It's exactly what I thought it would be, which is like, guys in sandals, cutting each other's heads off, and, Denzel Washington's fantastic in it. I mean, we had a good time. I mean, it's not a great movie. It's not the first movie by a long shot, but I thought it was fun. Yeah,
it was weird. I liked it, but I kind of knew what I was going to see, and I was hoping I was wrong, but I wasn't. Just like you just said, it's like you kind of get, in some cases when you're watching it, it feels like an homage to the first film, and they even use of the same score. And I'm I'm entertained, but I feel like I've seen this. And I will say, I thought Denzel Washington is great and everything. He's one of my favorite actors. But Pedro Pascal was fantastic.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. My wife was saying, I kind of agree. Some of it felt very rushed. Like you think maybe it was a longer cut, and they all of a sudden characters who hated each other liked each other, and somebody who seemed good suddenly turned bad. And so, especially at the end, they resolve things very quickly. So I don't know if it was there's a director's cut that's 4 hours out there that it makes a little more sense, for what it was, I think it was perfectly fine. Are you not mildly entertained?
I have one more movie to ask you about. It was not on your list, but what are you hearing about the film? Conrad, can I say this on the air?
I would say,
let's say Night Witch.
There you go. I was about to say,
but it rhymes with witch.
Yes.
What are you hearing? I have not seen it, but I have to say, I'm curious because I read
definitely
about it.
Curious.
Yeah.
So the premise is Amy Adams plays a mom who starts turning into a dog at night. I think there's no other way to say it.
Right.
I'm curious. The reviews I've seen have not been great. It's one of the movies where I'm like, shouldn't this be out by now? Because I feel like I've heard about it for so long.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely, I love Amy Adams. It's such a wild premise that, I'm definitely curious.
Yeah. I thought it was out already. Is it not out?
I haven't seen it around here. You know, I've been waiting.
And it's barely, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like right at 59%, like mostly favorable,
not quite fresh. Yeah.
Right. Barely, almost fresh. But it says now playing in theaters, must be in a really limited run or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I know Kraven the Hunter got panned like 15%. So I don't know if I wouldn't recommend that to people either, although I haven't seen it yet. So, but anything else you can recommend, Rob? Are you watching anything cool?
Daniel Craig has a new movie called Queer that's really good but really strange.
Right.
It's going to roll out really slowly. But he might get an Oscar nomination for that.
That got a Golden Globe nomination, I think, for Best Picture. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like that, but it went places I was not expecting it to go.
Interesting.
I'll say that. I don't want to spoil it, but I really enjoyed that. I want to watch Black Doves on Netflix.
Huh.
Which is the spy series with Keira Knightley that's supposed to be really good. People are comparing it to Slow Horses.
Oh, cool.
And And then there's the show on Amazon Prime called The Sticky. Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's a like a heist thriller where they're in Canada. So they're trying to steal $18 million worth of maple syrup.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a great premise. I got
love
say.
It.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right. I'm going to check that one out, too. And I didn't that. What was that one called? Black Doves and then Sticky.
The Sticky. Yeah.
The Sticky. OK, that's perfect. Yeah. And then Conrad thought you should review a film that I'm going to pull up here. Where did I, what did I do with it? Oh, here it is. It's called Holiday Touchdown, A Chief's Love Story.
Hallmark, baby.
Hallmark movies. It's got football. It's got the holidays. It's got the Hallmark crown. It looks like a winner to me, Rob.
I love it.
Check it out, will you?
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about that next time.
Real soon.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah. Have a great Christmas. We'll talk soon.
You too.
Thanks, Rob. Rob Thomas, check him out at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack. He does great work there. He's also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. That is a great publication, too. I just became aware of that when Rob started working there. So check that out as well if you're in the Madison area. Lots of fun stuff to read up on about your town. So I think, do we have time? We just said the Chiefs thing. Do we have time for
Taylor? Yeah, we can do. I think we should do the Travis Kelce Chiefs one, you know?
But we just did. We played. Oh, no, we didn't. Yeah, okay. All right, so this is, all right, in honor of a touchdown love story, what is it? Holiday touchdown?
Holiday touchdown, a Chiefs story.
We are going to, this is, we're bringing this back out of the archives, folks. We had, last year, Travis Kelce went up and bumped Andy Reid. They had words, the crowd was in a frenzy behind them, and nobody knew what was said. But, well, I think the clip pretty much says it all. So we obtained this. We're bringing this out of the archives. Here you go. I don't break much news on this show. This made headlines all over the place. Travis Kelce ran into and bumped into Andy Reid, his coach. And I somehow, don't ask me how I did it, folks, but I obtained the actual audio of what was said. Let's roll that audio. This is not for sensitive ears, folks.
Stop with the selfies. Get back in the game. I'm not kidding, coach. Stop sending nude selfies to my girlfriend. Get back in the game.
Come on, you guys, break it up.
Chill, chill.
My favorite is the guys yelling, chill, chill, break it up, you guys. They call that Foley in the business, ladies and gentlemen. We've gotten some great texts tonight. Our question was, what is your favorite Wisconsin food or food associated typically with Wisconsin? Did you see the Culver's post from Lynn in Oconomowoc?
I didn't.
Check that out and let me know.
Yeah, I didn't.
I don't get... I think it's an inside joke or maybe something we referenced earlier that I've already forgotten about. So I apologize, Lynn. I don't totally understand the text, but I appreciate she went to all this trouble to attach a file and a picture, and I'm totally spacing out. I'm sure it has something to do with what we talked about earlier, but it is probably from when the mayor was here and we were talking about Culver's. Mike from Green Bay. Did I read this one? No, we didn't read this on the air.
No,
yet.
But okay. We did talk about it with Jim.
The mayor. So, all right, Jim Schmidt was here. And Mike, I'm sorry we didn't see this till after he left, but Mike from Green Bay says, good evening, Pete. If you could please ask the mayor if he could pull some strings to get Cafe Espresso back on Washington Street. Love the show. Thank you, Mike, and thank you for the text. I actually have to text Jim about something separate, and I will mention this to him. So he will get your message, Mike, I guarantee it. From the 608, was the Nova Scotia musical after 9/11 that Pete and Mayor talked about called Come From Away? Yes, it was. Come From Away is the musical, the 9/11 inspired musical. Thank you for the tip there, 608. That's great. And then, that was Pam, right? Pam in Madison sent that. Thank you, Pam. Much appreciated. She says she saw the musical at the Overture Center in Madison. Wow. That sounds interesting. All right, we'll be back to wrap things up. Coming up next, and it'll be fun. We'll play another clip. Maybe we'll play the Taylor Swift clip. It's her birthday tomorrow. It's Peach Wobbin Nightlight, Civic Media, Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome to Staples.
Help! My family's in for the holidays and I need gift ideas.
That's why we're here. Staples has amazing deals on everything you need. Photo gifts, laptops, and gaming systems. Even custom holiday cards and shipping solutions to send gifts to the family that can't make it.
Perfect! Have anything for Uncle Frank? I love him, but the guy is never quiet.
Noise-canceling headphones. For you.
You get it.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Staples. And right now at Staples, save up to $350 on select computers. Ends 12/28, in-store only.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Welcome back. So I have to read you this, Conrad. We've been doing these LifeMark movie trailers here, and we're going to release a new one tomorrow night. And I was trying to send Amanda Nimmer and Nikki Zurjev a voicemail about how to give them some direction on one of the lines. So here's a combination of what I said using voice text and what the speakers picked up running that commercial.
Okay.
All right. Nikki, do you mind just redoing one line? I want her to truly be wooed by this guy lives in Carrington Pub and Simple Life Rentals, but his leg, the charm on fixing it was because he loved her and she's funny.
Send. That is perfect. She will get it.
She'll come in and say it exactly like that. So I can't do that when these speakers are on. Oh, that made me laugh. In Carrington Pub and Simple Life Rentals.
I think it's funny when...
Beautiful.
When someone thinks that the voice, like when you talk to it, it will stop when you say stop.
Yeah.
Or go back. Right, and then right. Stop. Puts it in there.
Or I'll always think it's not picking it up, and then I'll swear and it picks up the swear, but not what I was trying to say. It's like it's messing with me. It's like AI knows. Steady Eddie. We just got a text from Steady Eddie. He says, Pete, some holiday movie trivia for you, Conrad and Mayor Jim. Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, sang the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Pete, did you know he had a very shiny nose? Rudolph, not Gene. Anywho, at the beginning of the song, Gene, not Rudolph, names the reindeer. You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall... Fast forward, or maybe backwards, to the movie Miracle on 34th Street. In one scene, Santa is looking at a list of his reindeer... I'm going to take a quick break and go grab a sandwich, and I'll come back and read the rest of this text. Steady Eddie continues. Santa's looking at his list of reindeer. It includes Donder. Gene Autry, in the song, has changed the name of one of Santa's reindeer from Donder to Donner. Why? I guess it just flowed better in the song. Pete, that's some trivia that few people know. Check it out. Rudolph is on TV as I write this. Coincidence? P.S., the postscript, he says, Gene Autry once bought my mom a drink. Wow. He says it was before she met my dad and before she became my mom. And then he closes it with, I like Wisconsin brats. Ah, thank you, Steady Eddie. That's a lot of information in that text. That's kind of cool. Gene Autry bought Steady Eddie's mom a drink. I think he means like in a bar, a cocktail. Not he didn't buy her like a Gatorade, a Quick Trip, or anything like that. So,
well, you never know.
You never know. Very cool. Thank you, Steady Eddie. Great, great stuff there. All right, so we're gonna play. Do we have time to play?
Yeah.
Okay. Tomorrow is Taylor Swift's birthday. I'm off. I have to go to a wedding this weekend. So Conrad and I put together a show for tomorrow night. It's all new stuff, folks. Nikki Zerjav will be here. Brittany Merlot stops by, and we are still doing Bar Band Friday night. Terry Barr was gracious enough to record something earlier today with us that we will air tomorrow night. So that will be fun. All new stuff tomorrow, so please make sure you tune in. And it's Taylor Swift's birthday, so we pulled this interview that I did with Taylor years ago out of the archives.
Taylor, thanks so much for taking time out today. How have you been?
I'm great, thanks. I'm totally into this game called Pickleball.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
It's like for old people, but I like it.
Oh, that's so great. I've never heard of it, but I'll look for that game. So what else do you have going on these days? I know you have some albums and you seem like you're becoming really popular. What else do you have going on?
I'm just launching like a YouTube channel right now. It's totally cool. I mean, it'll probably never be as big as MySpace, but it's totally chill.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, we'll look for that. I've never heard of YouTube. That's so great, Taylor. Now, I hear you're doing a movie. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I am totally going to start acting from now on. I'm so done with singing. I mean, how far can that really take me, right?
I get it. So tell us a little bit about the movie you're doing.
Oh my God, yeah. It's called Valentine's Day, and it's directed by, well, I'm not sure, but he's old. And Julia Roberts is in it, and Jessica Alba, and Jessica Biel. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone in the movie is named Jessica, but it's totally cool. It's so fun because people can watch it every Valentine's Day from now on. It's going to be a big hit. And I totally just did this Hannah Montana movie, too. I think acting's really the way to go.
Huh, okay. Now, you have to kiss a guy in the movie, right? Taylor Lautner, do you have a boyfriend, and is he jealous about stuff like that?
My boyfriend is Jake Gyllenhaal, and he's totally not jealous because he knows I will always love him and we'll be together forever.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool that you're dating an actor.
Yeah, oh my God, he's the best. I totally like actors and the creative type of people. I could never really see myself dating, like, a big, sweaty jock who's, like, a total bro, you know?
Well, how did that work out for her? She did an about-face. That was about 15, 20 years ago, so she's come a long way. She's going to be 34, I think, tomorrow.
Oh, well.
She seems... We joke, but she... That's incredible. I mean, 34 is like the new 24. So she's basically your age.
I don't know.
She's older than you, but I'm saying to do the things she's done and only be 34 years old is unbelievable. So she's a good kid. I'm happy for her. And she was gracious enough with her time so many years ago. So we will do that. We will have one of our Hallmark films will play tomorrow, our Hallmark trailer. And the movie, folks, playing tomorrow is My Husband's Turtleneck. Playing on Lifemark, the trailer will run here tomorrow night. You're not going to want to miss that, folks. Hey, this has been fun. Like I said, I'm off tomorrow, but I'm not. We will be here with a brand new show. So tune in, all new stuff. And then we'll be back on Monday as well. Great stuff coming up next week and a fun show tomorrow night. Don't miss it. Great having you with me tonight. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, this has been Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. About suspected drone sightings over an area of New Jersey, White House National Security official John Kirby.
The United States Coast Guard is providing support to the state of New Jersey and has confirmed that there is no evidence of any foreign-based involvement from coastal vessels.
Kirby says New Jersey sightings appear to be of manned aircraft. Sam Morris, mayor of Mine Hill, New Jersey, says in Roxbury,
I have a credible reference over there, a resident over there who told me there's anywhere from 30 to 40 a night, and every night they're in the same place doing the same things. So I have to say, Mr. Kirby, that's a lot of nonsense.
Prosecutors are collecting evidence for a grand jury that they say ties the man arrested in Pennsylvania with the shooting death of the United Healthcare chief executive. Found alive in Syria, an American, Travis Timmerman, who in video interviews says he was thrown into jail for 7 months after crossing the border on a Christian pilgrimage. Rebels say that they freed him. This is ABC News.